Okay, we are up to Perek Vav. Let's start again with this series of sukkim. Some of these sukkim we're going to go through in sets. Let's start with Pasuk Chof Tes. Very quickly, we'll run through the entire theme in one shot. Again, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chof Tes. Kein haba elishas rei ehu. Lo yinoke kol hanagea ba. A person that comes near the wife of his friend will not be innocent. The person that touches her will not be innocent. Now then he goes on to explain, contrasting the sin of Arayus, first the sin of Geneva. There are two terrible sins that we're dealing with. Theft, Chomos, and Arayus. Pasuk Lamed. Perek Vav Pasuk Lamed. Lo yavuzu laganov ki yignov. A ganov will not be despised when he steals. L'mali nafsho, when the reason why he steals is l'mali nafsho, to fill up his neshama, his soul, ki yirov, being that he is hungry. If a person is destitute, if he is starving, and he steals in order to feed himself and his family, the judge will not despise him, will not mock him. The judge will have sympathy for him, will understand, I understand why you committed the crime, you were desperate. Furthermore, v'nimsa, furthermore, even the ganav has a way to achieve atonement, reconciliation with the victim. All he has to do is pay back the theft, the loss, restitution. V'nimsa, in the event that he is found, yishalem shiv osayim, he will never need to pay more than sevenfold. Es kol hon beso yitin, or sometimes, this is a little bit poetic, shiv osayim is an expression which means, we all know that seven represents, is like a guzma. It means the most you can possibly have to pay, even though we use the word 300 times, the number 400, but seven also is an idea of paying as much as you can possibly pay. It's equivalent to paying, to giving away all of the wealth of your home. Kind of true. Right away, jump in and tell you the why is the number seven here being used according to the Medrash. It's because if a person steals a shor, and he sells it or he slaughters, tovach u'mocha. Sugis, and this is Parish Meshvatim, the whole parak in Masechta Bavakama, and the Bavakama, Adalas Vehei, you have to pay four times for a sen, four times for a shar, and five times for a seh. Because a seh, the other way, five times for a shar, because there's no embarrassment. There is no embarrassment. There is embarrassment. You have to carry it on your shoulders. So the Torah went easy, and you only require you to pay four times. But for a shar, where there is no embarrassment, you just take it and you go, you have to pay five times. But let's say you steal a shar, and with the shar, you steal the plow, you steal the machareisha, and you steal the other implements that are attached, that are part of the plow. There is no halacha paying five times for the tools. For stealing kalim, one pays kefil, one pays double. So typically when you steal a car, you don't just steal the car, you steal the GPS, and you steal all the gadgets that are in the car. So if you're stealing the car, you're going to pay five. That's the shar. Stealing the shar, you're going to pay five times. If you're stealing the kalim, you pay kefil. What is five plus two? Seven. So the Medrash says, that's why it says here, Yishalem Shivosim, the most you're going to pay is seven times. And if the judge will, for whatever reason, put upon him, impose upon him a kanas, he'll have to pay not more than kol hoin beso. If he can't afford to pay more than whatever he has in his house, that's the max he's going to pay. But, no, if Isha, but a man that commits adultery with a woman, chasar lev, there is no sympathy. When the judge finds him guilty, he's lacking heart, he's acting in a foolishness. Mashkes nafsho hu yasen, he's committing suicide. It's suicidal, there's no benefit to be gained in this avera, and therefore the judge will not show him any sympathy, will lock him up. He loses olam hazen, olam haba, and he has bizyonos forever in this world and in the next world. It's just pure suicide and foolishness to do such a thing. Chazal say this specifically in regard to a zokain. In every tkuf in life, there are certain types of sins which are normal, which are expected. When a person is young, he has a taiva, then there's more of a possibility he'll be nichshol in arayus. But when he gets older, the taiva for arayus is diminished, so that's when it's suicidal. That's when it doesn't make sense. Kavod, when you see an older person do strange things in order to achieve honor, that's normal. That's to be expected, because that's the way the mind, that's the way that construct made a person. When he gets old, he has a desire for kavod. When you see a young person desire kavod, that's not normal. That's something which is strange. I think there's a measure which gives different examples. Different stages in a person's life when there are certain types of sins which are to be expected to some degree, and that's what you show when a person does an avera in a stage in life that it's not expected. That is foolish and unforgivable. And the example, the specific example, is a zaken that does the avera of arayos, because at that age of the person's life, the taiva is diminished, and it's very easy to be omen in this type of nisayan. Okay, then it goes on to say pasik lamed gimel nega the kolonim. So this person will find in his avera nega. On the goyim, the sin of arayus, Chazal say, brings tsaras. The kolon shame yimsi will find the harpasa lo simocha, and the shame will not be erased. Now let's take a look at. Let's run through over here through some of the mitzvahs and the rashi and some midrashim. Let's go back to pasuk lamid lo yavuzu ein marim levazay says haganav kasher yignoiv lemalei nafshei. They will not increase to despise the ganav when he steals. When the reason why he steals is lemalei nafshei, to feed his soul, ki rov, who is hungry. The ganav lishvar haravon, he stole in order to break his hunger, and this is to be considered an accident. It's not his fault. There is restitution. How? To pay. And then when he pays restitution, then Balagneva will leave him alone. A person does not have an obligation to give more than he can afford and what he owns in his house. But a person will never be put to death for committing for stealing. However, you have to hear the word avul, but a person that commits adultery with a woman who chasa leif, he is foolish, and a person is susan nafshay, so yaseh kazos. A person who is susan will do such a thing, he does not force to do so like a person who steals for money. That in heaven they will bring upon him negoyim. So he singled the coin to the sister, he's going to be punished from heaven and from earth. And from earth he will suffer shame. He'll go down in history for his avera. Rashi, back to Pasuk Lamed. What? Infamy. Infamy. He'll be written down for posterity, his in infinity for what he has done. Pasuk Lamed lo yavozu, no Rashi. Pasuk Lamed nimsa yishalim, no Rashi. Pasuk Lamed beis no yifisha. Shalashta michubarim b'dibur echad. The three psukim are connected in one series. Im yignav aganav gineva. A person steals, he will not be despised like a noyif. Lama, why? Because he's doing this to satisfy his neshama. The ulai does not have what to eat. And when he is found, and the most he'll ever have to pay is sevenfold. So what's the seven? So he explains tashlumi kefel harbe. He'll have to pay kefel multiple times, and even afilu chamishim al echad, even 50 for one. I don't know exactly what that means. Okay, I didn't see a parish what this means. Anyone have any idea what this means? Anyone want to help me out here? What this means? The next parish, we know what it means. Next parish, afilu
chamishim. Even if you have to pay 50 bucks for each one, so.
Where does the number 50? So what does it mean? I think 7 by 7, maybe what he means is Shiva 7 means 7 times 7, 49. Maybe that's what he means. Seven to Shivasayim can also mean seven multiplied by seven. 49, and 49 is close enough to 50. And we have that number, I mean, Chazal always, when they round off the number, so the most you'll ever have to pay is 50 times, maybe it means the principal, you'll pay the principal, that's one, plus Shivasayim. Shivasayim is seven times seven. Seven is the number in Chazal which always refers to the Shlemus in this world. So it's 49 plus one is a total of 50. Perhaps that's what it means. The Yeish Mefarshim, this is the interpretation I told you before. Shivasayim k'may goynev shor, the person steals an axe and the utensils, and you slaughter or you sell the axe. So the rule is you pay for the axe five times, and for the kalim, the implements, you pay two times. Five plus two is seven. So here Shivasayim does not mean seven times seven. It means 5 plus 2, 7. We had in Yeshaya, end of Yeshaya, Shivasayim there, it even in fact meant 7 times 7 times 7. Sometimes Shivasayim means multiple forms of 7. So this kind of, going to the first parish of Rashi, it means 7 times 7 plus 1 is 50, or it means 7, but we're not going to the extreme of 7 times 7 times 7. Risham Chamisha Baka Vidashume Kefil Ima Kalim. Fine, next. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Eskol Hoin Beso Yitain, Viafilu, even if this person will be required, Tzach Limkar Eskola Shalom, Al Zed Mikol Mokom Yeshle Takano Umitchil Machmas Rav Osa. So a person will have rest. There's a solution. There is a solution for this problem. But, and also he's not to be blamed because he was from the Aval, Noyev Isha Chasar Leifu, Sharei Lo Lure Ove Nosa, it's not due to hunger, he could survive. A person cannot live without food. But a person can live without being nichshol in the avera of eshes ish, mashkes nashu yaseh yahu yasena hazima, it is suicidal. Lamed gimel negav kolon yimsa alavodas kibulum ve'alduli arayis aboyim. So Rashi quotes the Medrash and he quotes the Pshat that in punishment for worshipping idols and in punishment for worshipping, for doing arayos, he suffers saras. Why is saras the appropriate punishment for these two averos? The Chazal tells because the ikar saras, with saras comes humiliation. What is the humiliation? He has to be quarantined. Ostracism. You know, it's very, very bizarre that we're living in a generation now where we never really had this, at least not that I remember, such a thing where it's such a public quarantine. Ebola. Yeah. Ebola. So now it's being brought to the forefront, this whole concept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mo Hashem Lekecha Dorish Meimach, this idea of quarantine. Baruch Hashem, a lot of people came out of quarantine this last week. What, over 50 people were quarantined for 21 days and they were released. But it's in the news. And we never really heard, you know, we never really heard in such a public way. Yeah? Years ago. Typhoid came, but this goes back, I'm talking about in recent times, in the last 50 years. In the last 50 years, how we had such publicity about this about such a concept of being quarantined. It's the headlines of the news, it's in everyone's mind. And this is really what saras is all about. Saras, a person has to be michutz l'machane mashavai, badad yeshev. He has to be in isolation. That's the essence of the punishment. Isolation can drive a person crazy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, the door is closed. Only for a moment. Badad yeshev, michutz l'machane mashavai. That is the essence of the punishment of tzaras. And why? Because tzaras, that is a form of humiliation. And tzaras, Chazal tells us, avodah zarah, and gilui arayis, what is the shorish? Comes from gaiva, comes from arrogance, comes from a desire to enjoy oneself. It's rooted in gaiva, and the solution to gaiva is isolation. When you're all alone, then you realize the person is humbled. It's a humiliation.
You don't have in front of who to boss,
right? You don't have in front of who to boss or to push around. You don't have to boss around when you're in isolation. Ki kina, okay, pasik, okay, that's right, the next pasik. So let me just quote you a little a medrash. I really told you all the midrashim, I believe I'm mistaken, so let's go further. Okay, Shivasayim, we did that. Okay, there is something else very important. I thought it was actually Rashi. I'm getting confused. Is it the Rashi later? Okay, it's really the Rashi quotes the Medrash, which is coming up in the next pasuk. Let's read the next two pasuk, and then we'll see the Rashi with this another interpretation for these pasukim. Pasuk Lamed Dalit ki kina chamas gever. Jealousy is the anger of man. Vlayachmol biyom nakam. Let's see. We'll read this pasuk Lamed Dalit ki kina hanekama toir chamas habal. The jealousy. Now, this is a third punishment for the avera of gili arayos, especially with an eishes ish. There's going to be tsaras. Okay, there's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to step in and bring upon him tsaras. Society is going to be mevazahim. They're going to despise him. The headlines of the paper will write about him. Do you know what this politician did? You know what he did? It was nichshol in arayos. There is bzionos, and then he has to deal with one more party, and that is the husband of the woman with whom he was nichshol. He will never forgive people, the world, society. They'll write him off, but they'll invite him to be the guest of honor by the next dinner because they'll still get along with him. They'll be mevazim, but they'll still have some do with him. But the husband of the woman with whom he did the avera will never ever forgive him, and in fact will secretly work behind the scenes to destroy him. Kikina, the jealousy of the man, the husband of this woman, chamas gever, which is the anger of man, that will increase. Let's see the mitzvah. Let's see hanekama, the revenge to oirer chamas habal, the anger of the husband, v'lo yimchol olav, and will never forgive him b'yom asher timsa yada, and therefore lo yimchol olav, period. B'yom asher timsa yada, on the day in which he has an opportunity, linkoim nakam, on the day which he has an opportunity to take revenge, he will always wait for that moment when he can take revenge. V'tia im kein hadavar shamur, therefore the matter will be watched, v'lo tishkach, will not be forgotten forever. And v'lo yachmol, and the pasuk concludes v'lo yachmol b'yom nakam. So you have to read the words. You have to read this pasuk out of order. If you read it backwards, it makes it a little bit easier. The husband of this man, he is the subject of this pasuk. The husband of the woman with whom he committed the avera will show no compassion on the day of vengeance, on the day when he has the opportunity to destroy him, to kill him. Why? Because Kina, the jealousy of what he has done, has inflamed the chamas, the anger of the gover of this man, again, who is the husband of this woman. Pasuk Lamed Hey, there's nothing possibly the balavera can do to achieve atonement. Lo yisa pnei chol chofer, he cannot find forgiveness. Yisa means favor. Favoritism. He will never be able to appease the husband of this woman, the face of this man, with chol kofer, any form of restitution, any form of penalty, all the money in the world will not be enough to calm down this man, to appease him. V'lo yoven, he will not be willing to accept it, to be appeased. Even if he will increase bribe, a bribe will give him a lot of money, it's not going to make any difference. Let's see if we get the Rashi, the Mitzudas. Lo Yisa, Lo Yiyye No Seifonim, Shel Kol Min Mimine HaKoifer. Any type of atonement, any type of payment, any type of honor, any type of gift that this man can give the husband of this woman will not achieve favoritism, will not turn to change his attitude. Lahavir haketzef bavuro, to remove the anger from upon him. V'lo yoveh, lo yirtze lachmol, he will not be willing to forgive, imtir b'sheichad, even if you will increase bribery, v'kof al'in b'miloy shenes. Okay, so that is going to be basically Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Dal is part of this, and Lamed Hey is part of a set telling us there are going to be three for the Avera of Gili Arayos. A person will suffer three punishments.
So what is the point of telling him, the husband will take care of you, and
Hashem will take care of you, and society will take care of you. Three parties, that's what it's saying. Achut HaMashulash.
It would seem to say that the cow should be first.
the Kaladel, that's not every, you can't. Every so often, the order.
God will take care of you, and this is what the whole Musar is saying. So, what if he said, all right, so the husband will never forgive you, and he'll try to beat you up wherever he sees you?
So that in a chanami, there are multiple punishments. Some people, they're not afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but they're afraid of men. In fact, Rabbeinu HaKodesh told his Talmidim that halavai, you should be afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu like you're afraid of a human being. Halavai. So just because... Oh no. Just because they'll have a new type of way of making noise. You think the drilling is the only way you can make noise. There are other ways you can make noise. There's no limit. You see? there are multiple, a person will suffer multiple forms of punishment. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzaras, from society, Bizyonos, and from the husband, the family of this woman, he has to watch out for the rest of his life. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi has something very interesting. Lo Yisafanim. Wait, did I go? Let's see. Pasuk Lamed. Lamed Dalid. Kikina. Miskane bo lihipara bo chamaso. Shela Kadosh Baruch Hu. According to Rashi, the subject is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the husband. Rashi is going off on a different track. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a continuation. There's going to be Negoim, and Negoim leads to Bizyonos. Okay, that's still society. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be willing to forgive him on the day of Dokkan. Meaning when a person is down, that the Satan is Mekatreg B'Shas HaSakana. The person, there will come a time in the person's life when he will be in a time of Sakana, in a weak moment. And in that weak moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon him his ultimate punishment. One more time, Miskanebo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be angry, will be filled with rage, liparabo chamaso, to execute his anger against this person. Haku chamaso shel Kadosh Baruch Hu shugibor al hakol. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mighty. That's if Rashi here says that the word chamas gover is Hashem, and don't read it gover, but interpret it as gibor. Hashem is the ultimate mighty being. Al kol on upon all v'loyach Hashem will not show compassion and biyom nakom on day when Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to punish. Lo yisafanim. Hashem will not show favoritism. The person can give all the tzedakah he wants. It's not going to make a difference. This that he has rebelled against Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rashi is following the sheet of the previous paragraph over here that the Isha is not only referring to an Isha Zona, but she's referring to Avodah Zarah, a person that is attached and is immersed in apikorsis. All of the money that he gives will not achieve atonement, period. Now Rashi here says something very interesting. Rabbeinu Darshubo Lo Yavuzu Leganav. Who is the Ganav? A whole new homiletic interpretation of this series of these psukim. The Ganav here is not a bad guy. The Ganav here is a tzaddik, and the reason why we're calling him a Ganav is because he steals time from his family and from his friends. The time that he would otherwise have spent with them on a trip or on talking and dealing with them, he steals and he devotes to learn Torah or to do gemilas chasadim. Rabbi Seinu Darshu lo yavuzu leganov zeh hamiskanev me'achar chaveroi. A person that steals himself away from his friends. His friends say, come with us, we're going out to eat, we're going to a dinner, let's have a good time, we're going to play golf, we're going to a movie, whatever. So he says, sorry, I can't go, I have to go learn, I have a seder, I have to go to the Beis Medrash. So he steals himself away from his friends. Hoylich lebeis hamidrash v'oisek b'atorah. V'nimsa, what's the reward? The reward is v'nimsa yishalem shivasayim. The word shivasayim, in addition to all the various perushim that we explained, seven times seven, 50, whatever we hear it means, it's a code for Sofo Shemismane Dayon. He will receive kavod, honor. The honor of being a Talmud Chacham, She'ein Shevasayin, the word Dayon and Moro Haros, will be able to become a Talmud Chacham. And a person that issues halachic decisions, She'ein Shevasayin Ela Torah. It is a code word for Torah. Where do we find this in Tehillim? Shenemar Torah is mezukok, is purified shiv or sayin. It is refined sevenfold. It's nothing more than an expression. 7 times 7. You take metal, gold, and you put it into the furnace to refine it, to remove its impurities. You do it once. You do it a second time. You do it a third time. Every single time you do it, you refine the gold to a more pure product. Chazal, the menorah was put into the furnace, there's a medrash how many times, an enormous amount of times, until the gold was reduced to the purest gold in the world. So that's here what it means as well. You put the gold into the fire 49 times, 7 times 7. Torah is considered to be the purest form of wisdom, the purest form of anything in this world. It's a code for Torah, and a person that steals himself away from his friends to be Oisik in Torah, he will merit to be a Talmud Chacham and to be attached to the object that's called Shiva Sayim.
Now,
what? No one's going to despise him. He will not be disappointed. He's not going to lose out. His friends will come back and say, "Did you miss a good game? You should have come to the World Series. You can't imagine what we saw." So he feels despised. He has lost out on what the world has to offer. What did he exchange that experience for? Time spent in the Beis Medrash. Hashem says, "You're not losing out nothing. You will be rewarded with a much greater reward, the reward of Shiva Sayim." Now this idea is not new. This idea is in the Aseres HaDibros. I'll give you two examples where we find this idea. Loi Tignoif. So Chazal Dashn is a psik. In between the word lo and the word Tignoif, there is a line. There's a vertical line. Why is there in the Messiah? Why is there a Bermesig? Why is there a vertical line? Because Chazal make a drash, lo, comma, don't read it together. Tignov, there are times in life you have to steal. That doesn't mean steal money. It means this idea that Rashi is quoting, to steal time. You have to steal yourself away from your family and your friends in order to devote yourself to more important things. Of course, there has to be a proper balance. Where do we have this idea? This is a very controversial idea. The night of Pesach, the children steal the afikoman. Now, in fact, we know there are many Hasidim, there are many Gedolei Yisrael that are they object very strongly to this custom of allowing children to steal the Afikoman, especially in our day and age where everything is public knowledge. And when the Goyim see that we have a custom of stealing, right, we accuse us of that's what you teach your children. You teach your children to steal. Who knows what else you're teaching your children? And from there come the blood libels and so on and so forth. So indeed, many Gedolei Yisrael are of the opinion that it is not the proper thing to steal the Afikoman in the night of Pesach. However, on the other hand, there are many, many Gedolei Yisrael, and there is a tradition that you do steal. You actually steal the Afikoman. How could it be then that we have such a tradition? It's all based upon Mamish. This Rashi, this Rabbeinu Darshu, and what it says that Seres Debes Loi Tignov, that in life there are times that you have to steal. It doesn't mean to steal money, it means you have to steal in the permitted way. You have to take away time from things that you otherwise would spend and steal that time for more important things. Instead of spending time on vacation, okay, vacation is an important thing, but if a person doesn't absolutely need that vacation, he can steal that time and devote it to spiritual pursuits. And that's what you have to teach children. The matzah, what is the matzah? The matzah represents michla dim hemnusa, the bread of faith. The matzah is a symbol of emuna. When it comes to emuna, sometimes you have to cut corners. Meaning you have to cut corners from other areas in life and have emuna. If you want a stable, secure life, you have to follow all the rules. You can't take any risks. But if you're not going to take any risks, sometimes it's going to take away from the opportunity you have in life to devote yourself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, there has to be a balance, of course. You can't be suicidal. Ain't semich mal hanes. You can't rely upon miracles and just assume that you're not going to go to work and then money's going to come out of the sky and you'll have what to eat. But there are times in life where, you can survive. You just have to be careful. You could survive. And you don't have to go and do and cross all the T's and dot all the I's. You can survive sometimes. Again, there has to be proper balance, but there is such a concept of lo tignovu. You should steal. And that's what you have to teach children. And when it comes to the michla dimhemnusa, you have to chap. Don't just wait for someone to give emunah, present it to you on a silver platter. There's emunah is on the table, chap it, steal it, take advantage, steal the afikoman. Okay, this idea is also what?
Get a reward.
And get a reward. Get, it's a dangerous idea. And that's why we have to have shir, we have to have... It's a very dangerous, because I could show you volumes of volumes and volumes of telling you, don't play around with this, don't steal the afikoman. Yeah.
The Torah, they say that you did...
What?
The Har Sinai, you heard the voice.
Yeah.
You would have said the Kri, they would have said Loisig Noivu, Lashem Shemayim.
So they saw the call, with the, they saw the psik.
They saw the sound.
Shaymin Roimes Akolais. Roimes Akolais.
Rashi is all the way going, comparing, contrasting Torah and Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
And what he's saying here is that, you know, sometimes if you get into that, what is it, the Shamronim approach, that the Torah is, can be changed, and it, you have to learn Pshat without the...
Chamayim HaChazal, right.
Without this, that's Mamish Avodah Zarah can bring you. So he's saying that there is a Gedeva, Rabbi Seinu Darshu.
Don't read it literally.
Gedeva, yes, that you understand the purpose of the... Well, you see, like, the times when... You should steal.
I read the that's why they had to write it down. But you, otherwise, you could say loy with the vav.
Loy, you should steal. Loy with the vav. Okay. But.
That's why they had to write it down.
Loy with the vav. All right. Okay, but that's how you read the pasuk. Lo yovuzu laganov, the one that steals away time from will not be despised. Ki yignov lemali nafsho, he's stealing the here. When it says lemali nafsho, according to Rabbi Seinu, nafsho means to fill up his soul, his spiritual soul. According to the pshat, lemali nafsho means he's hungry. I'm starving. My guf, the word nafsho really is borrowed to mean your guf is hungry. According to the Rabbi Seinu, lemali nafsho means to fill up your spiritual soul with ruchnius. Ki yirav. What's the pasuk say that when Mashiach comes, there'll be a famine? Lo yirav lalechem, lo yirav lamayim, kiim l'shmoya. What's the it's divrei Hashem. So there's the rav of hearing the words of Hashem is neshama v'nimsa, and he will succeed. V'nimsa here does not mean he's caught. V'nimsa here, according to Rabbi Seinu, means he will achieve his objective of stealing. When he does this to fill up his neshama, because he's hungry for the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and what will he? Yishalem, he will be rewarded. Yishalem here means he will be Hashem will reward him with shivasayim, which will be shivasayim, which means the Torah, which is the most refined item in the world, as Kol Hon Beis Hayitin, he will be given all of the wealth, the spiritual wealth of his bias will be given to him. Now, just going off on a little bit of a tangent, other this idea of stealing, the Chazal Sadash, this reference to Mashiach. What do we mean? We know that there are two times for the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach, if we don't do anything, then Mashiach will come be itai achi shana. If we do not merit, Mashiach will come in its predestined time in the end of days. But if we merit, achakal b'chol yom shev, we can bring Mashiach achishena, we can hasten the coming of Mashiach before its time. What is the matzah? What is the afikoman? Besides, all the, among the many different things it represents, it's suffering. The afikoman, it comes at the end of the Seder. It's called, when we eat the afikoman, it's called tsafon. Tsafon means it's put away in hiding. It's put away, what's put away? It's put away for the end, Mashiach. A titzmark, but Mashiach is something which is put away for the end of days. When we grab, when we steal the afikoman, what is it when you're stealing? You achishan. I don't want to wait until Mashiach comes at the end of days, until the end of the Seder. Yechat the afikoman now, it's achishana. I want to hasten the geula. It's also a geneva. We're stealing Mashiach before his times. What? Why from the Goyim?
We're making them be destroyed earlier.
Oh, if you want to look at it like that.
That's why
out of being destroyed. Out of them being destroyed. Leitignaif. All right, so this is an idea. It's a very popular. Okay, so this is a beautiful idea, and when we come to Pesach and you hear this spoke. So when it comes to Pasuk, okay, Pasuk. Okay, we have here Pasuk Lamed. Just try to remember this idea. Lo yavuzu laganov ki yignav. The next time someone tells you, "Don't come with me," and you're planning going to a shir, you're not going to lose out. Lo yavuzu laganov. Going to a shir, you're a ganav. You're stealing time, precious time from other activities. Ki yignav lemali nafshu likiyuf. I'm going to the shir because I have to fill my neshama. V'nimsa yishalim shevasam yil bizarcha tu hayra. It says over here all these beautiful brachas that come from learning Torah. Okay, that concludes this perek. I believe we've gone through the important midrashim that at least I have on the page. Let's go to the new perek. Pas perek zayin. Bini shemor amoroi umitzvosai titzpoin itach. That's what you're referring to. The next pasuk aleph. My child, guard my words, and my commandment shall be hidden with you. Rashi, mitzudos pasuk aleph. There is no mitzudos. Okay, Rashi, binishmar amarai mitzvosai. There's no perish either. There's just one medrash. The medrash says, Shemois Rabba. Shemois Rabba, it says concerning this exact pasuk. I read you the words. Pa'amim sha Torah loiva min ha-mitzvois, u'pa'amim sha mitzvois loivois min ha-Torah. Shenemar, shemar mitzvosai, kama, guard my commandments. This I will see. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm reading the next pasuk. I jumped ahead, okay. Shemar mitzvosai v'chye v'sarasi ki shenechye. That's really the next pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk then. Okay. Guard my words and my commandments. My commandments shall be hidden with you. I do not have any... okay, I don't have any perish on this. I didn't really look into this pasuk very much. Let's go to pasuk beis. Pasuk beis, shemar mitzvosai v'chye. Guard, this seemingly some repetition. Guard my commandments and live. The sarasi and my Torah ki ishaninech, guard it like the pupil of your eye. Okay, the pupil of your eye, you shall guard my Torah, just like the eye, that is the most sensitive portion of a human being. The pupil of the eye, Chazal say, that's where life comes. When a person dies, it's been described as Yosef, Yosim einav alinech, Yosef Yashis will cast his hands upon your eyes. That refers to death. Death is referred to the closing of the eyes. We know in halacha that for laws of refu, if a person does not feel well, okay, stick it out. Don't call hatzala. Don't do anything drastic. But if a person has problems with his eyes, you don't take any chances. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, and according to halacha, you're allowed to do almost anything, any suspicion you have concerning your eyes, that is pikuach nefesh, because the life depends upon a person's eyes. And here it tells us to guard your Torah like the pupil of the eye. Why is the pupil of the eye called ki ish shayne necha, like an ish? So the answer given is because, very interesting, the interesting idea is because when you look at someone else, you look him in the eye, what do you see when you look him in the eye? You see yourself, it's a mirror. You see a little ish. A smallish. So we have a nun. A nun in Hebrew, in grammar, always minimizes. The nachash, the nechashtan, there are different examples, I don't remember the examples, but there are different examples in Tanakh where when you add a nun, an ennun, to a word, it means take the item and minimize it, and make it into a miniature of something else. So here is ish, with a nun at the end, ishain. The pupil of the eye is called pupil because in the pupil of the eye there is a little person, a little ish, yourself. You're looking at yourself. The Bali Musa say, the more you guard your eyes, shmiras einayim, the more a person guards his eyes, neither k'neged neither, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guard the ish, will guard you. Person is always needs supervision, he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect him from the dangers of the world. Midah k'neged midah, guard your eyes. Because don't look at things you should not be looking at. And the Mela Kadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate with God the ish that is captured in the eye. The ish represents the person's existence, not someone else, it means yourself. The person's essence that is captured within his own eyes. Okay, now the Medrash, I wanted to quote, which really you can connect it to the previous pasuk as well, says that sometimes Torah borrows from mitzvah, sometimes mitzvah borrows from Torah. What does that mean? That there are times when a person is mechuyev to be mevatel Talmud Torah in order to do mitzvahs. Classic example, Megillah Esther. The Mishnah Masechet Megillah, mevalin Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. You can be the biggest lamdan in the world, and then Tarasa Yom Nasa, you learn 24/7, you have to stop learning Torah to read the Megillah, to listen to the Persume Nisa. It's so great, the mitzvah of Persume Nisa, what Megillah represents is so great, it has to be bottled. And likewise, many mitzvahs are like that. And then there are times when you don't do the mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to do, don't do the mitzvah. That's right, don't, because if you are a person who Torasay Unasa, or it's a type of mitzvah where someone else can do the mitzvah, and even the Torah says do the mitzvah, there are times when the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the study of Torah is paramount, it is the most important thing, it has kedima, don't do the mitzvah. So there is a very delicate relationship between the two. Sometimes Torah stands down for mitzvahs, and sometimes the mitzvahs have to reciprocate and stand down in order to allow one to broaden his knowledge of the Torah. That's what the Medrash interprets this pasuk. Shemar mitzvah saivech, guard my mitzvah and live, v'sarasi kishnech, and also guard, the two are juxtaposed to tell us that there is a relationship between the two. Okay, pasuk gimel, now this is a very, very popular pasuk, kashrein I'll see the first to Rashi. Let's listen to Rashi. Vechye, I've got the pasuk based in mitzvahs, vechye and live, ba'avuram, they have it twice in Yom Mitzvahs, ba'avuram. Okay, I don't know if that was a mistake or that's what he meant to be. Ba'avuram, tichye, and through observing, guarding the mitzvahs, he will live. V'sarasi, musav al milah shemar. We have to repeat the word shemar twice, guard the Torah like the pupil of your eye. Musav al milah shemar, loyma shemar Torah si ki shtenecha. Rashi.
You know what? This is not a misprint.
Why not?
Vechye
ba'avuram. Bavuram tichye. Vechye. Let me see. What's the shmarim? Vechye. Vechye bavuram. Bavuram tichye. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. Could be. Pasuk Rashi. V'sarasi kishneinecha shachar shalayim, the black of the eye. Shehudoyme lechayshech k'mo ishoin loyla. Ishoin loyla means the darkness, the black of the night. So he's telling us there pshat ishoin. Look at the mitzudos. Mitzudos tzion says ishoin hubas ha'ayin is the pupil. Ba'avur katnus tzuras ishoin. See, it's interesting. The mitzudos is not like Rashi. Rashi says the ikur word ish is ishoin. It's a standalone word. Ishoin means darkness, and the proof to this is it's found in reference to choshech, darkness. Ishoin laila. We borrow that. That's the ikur. The pupil is the tofel. The pupil is the borrowed expression. The pupil of the eye is black, just like ishoin ayin. It appears that the mitzudos learns just the opposite. That the ikur is the pupil. That's the primary. And the reason why it's called ishoin is because of the little ish, the little man that's inside the pupil. And then when we say the ishoin laila, the darkness of the night, that's the borrowed expression. Since the pupil happens to be black, so when we talk about the darkness of the night, we borrow it with the word ishoin. What is the ikar and what is the tafel in Hebrew language? A very interesting idea.
Ha'aminun achicha shebatesefes hanun laktino lahashmilo, the faith of your brother. The faith of your brother means the lack of faith. The lack of faith, the nun comes to diminish, to the diminutive of an idea. Okay, now let's go to the pasuk gimel. Kashem al etzbeisecha, take the Torah and the mitzvahs and tie it on your fingers. Kasvim, tie it and write it al luach libech, upon the tablet of your heart. Mitzudos, this is probably pasuk gimel.
There is no Mitzvah. Rashi, and there is no Rashi. Okay, the Medrash. This is the Gemara Masechta Nidarim. The Gemara, and it's also in Kiddushin. The Gemara Masechta Nidarim says, Shalayoyimar Adam Ekra, a person should not say to himself, the reason why I'm going to study, what is the primary reason why I'm going to study Torah? I want a good reputation, I want honor, I want to achieve honor in society. Shalayoyimar Adam Ekra, I'm going to learn Torah. Sheyikrauni Chacham, I shall be called a wise man. Eshna, I'll learn Mishnayis. Sheyikrauni Rebbe. Eshanein, I learn Talmud. She'ehye zaken ve'eshev yeshiva. That's a mistake. Don't, that should not be one's attitude. El lamad me'ahava. Learn Torah out of love. The soif hakavah lava. Don't worry, you're not going to lose that. You'll get the kavah. How do I know this? That you should learn me'ava. Koshrim this pasuk. The Gemara in Nedarim quotes this pasuk. Koshrim al etzbe'secha. Koshrim al luch libecha. The reason why you should study Torah is to do it, that you should know it. Torah should be on your fingers, meaning, fingers mean, you should know how to live. You should know how to behave in this world. You shall write it on the table of your heart just for its own sake, not for the sake of any external reward.
Luach libecha could be, you know, medrash and etzbosecha is masa.
As etzba,
doing
things, right? Thing
you should. And the other one is just the
knowledge. The knowledge for its own sake, not for the sake of honor, not for the sake of honor, but just for its own purpose of knowing how to live life, your fingertips to behave, to act, to do, and Torah knowledge. Okay, that's what the Gemara. And obviously, there must be more to it, but I don't have any deeper knowledge of this Gemara at this time. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Dalet, another very popular Pasuk. Emor la chochma achoy si'at. One shall say to chochma, you are my sister. Umoda. What does it mean, umoda? That's a very hard word to translate. Simply, it means a relative. A moda,
as in Rus,
ule Naomi moda li isha. And to Naomi, there was a relative to her husband. Naomi had, she was married to what was his name?
Elimelech.
So who was the relative of Elimelech? Boaz. Boaz was the moda, the relative of her husband, Elimelech. So that's what, so you shall say to wisdom, umoda, a relative, la bina, sikra, you shall call out to bina. We have two different concepts, chokhma and bina. For our purposes, they're the same. We had discussions about this in the beginning of the Sefer. And you shall refer to them like they are your relatives. Now, what do you mean relatives? Let's first admit. So those emel chokhma tzolemar, te rogu b'chokhma k'odam b'achoyso, umoda kof adam b'milo shenes in a relative. Basically, means just like, you know, everything there is to know about your relatives at a very similar level. I know them. I know when they were born. I know what they look like. I know what food they like. I know everything that you can possibly know about a person. I know about my relatives. And who do you know most about? Your sister. Why a sister? Because kol kvuda in ancient times, kol kvuda bas melech penima. Women live at home. A brother goes out into the street. He goes out to work. But women were found at home. So every time you come home, your sister is there. So you know everything about her. You know what she looks like, how she behaves, what food she likes, so on and so forth. Relative, another example. You know your relatives. You know your relatives better than you know strangers. That's how well one should know Torah. A person should know Torah, Mishnayis, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Talmud, should know it on his fingertips like he knows about all the details of his relatives.
Familiarity.
Let's see over here, Rashi. Achoy si'at. Karevna elecha, I'm close to you.
You know what? I think we're going to find out why this is in parentheses.
Why?
Look at the next part.
Umoda. What?
But it says here is Karevna elecha.
Elecha. Umoda karev kimo boaz moda tanu kirevenu. He is our relative. Klemar karevna elecha ta etzlecha.
You see, karevna etz.
Near you.
It's left. It's, in other words, it's lecha rather than a lecha, using the same phrase. So it's telling you, really, the phrase should be the one that's the second one, not this first one.
Korevna Eilecha, close to you.
No, we have
the parentheses, Achosiat. Karevna, Kara, Karev, Umoda means a relative. Kamo, we find in Boaz, Boaz Moda Tanu. What does that mean, Kama? It means Boaz is Kirevenu. He is our relative.
Right.
Naomi said to Ruth, do not worry, we have a man here, Boaz, he is our relative. Kalaimar, Karevna Etzlucha Tamid.
See, Etzlucha instead of.
Alright, it's the same idea. Etzlucha, okay.
I think that's why it's
okay. So according to the Sill interpretation, just says basically means that you shall. Rashi maybe is saying something different than them. Rashi basically means that relatives you always have dealings with. Strangers, you don't live with strangers, you live with relatives, you live at home with your siblings, with your parents, with your relatives, you go to all the smachos. This is all part of life, you're close to your relatives. Now, everyone knows the famous Chazal tell us that, why are we comparing it to a sister? But everyone knows there's one halacha that every ignoramus knows on his fingertips. What is that? He's not allowed to marry his sister. And halach is so ingrained. It's so ingrained in a person's DNA, psyche, that he doesn't have any taiva. He doesn't have any desire. A person may have a desire for a cousin. Right? If he has a cousin, and he may like her very much. It may have a sister-in-law. He may have relatives. These are people that the mitzvah is a person may have some type, may be drawn to want to have a relationship with these type of people. And the Torah says, no, watch out. It's us. Now, cousin is not necessarily us, sir, but let's say an aunt, or let's say a sister-in-law, or daughter-in-law, or things along those lines. But there's one relative, and the Torah says, you know, you may have an inclination to have relations with her, to be with her, you know, but stay away. Torah, before Matan Torah, Taka says that people were in that, they vayishmu Moshe la'am boicha al mishpacha Yisaf. Before Matan Torah, people were married to their close relatives. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them, that's it, now you have the Torah, that's it. No one's allowed to be married to their aunt, no one's been allowed to be married to a sister-in-law, when the brothers had all the different types of arayos. That's it. Got to call it quits. And there was a massive a line in front of the divorce court. Because it was natural. But a sister, that it's aser, and it's so aser, the halach is so clear as day, a person doesn't even have a taiva for a sister. In fact, they say, you know, this is not so simple. Someone would say that at the time of the Bayis Sheni, we know that the Anshei Knesset Hagadola destroyed the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. We look at Avodah Zarah today and we have no clue. Why would a person want to bow down to a piece of wood? What pleasure does one get? Doesn't make one bit of sense. And the whole Torah, it's just packed with people bowing down to stone, to wood, and images of the sun, the moon, doesn't make any sense. That's because Chazal tells us that the Anshei Knesset Hagadola, with an elaborate ceremony, destroyed the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. They were so pleased with the result, they tried, you know what, let's go to the next step, let's take away the Yetzahara for Noshim. No one will have a taiva for Noshim. Could you imagine what the world will look like today? And it says, they did it. They succeeded. They succeeded. And they made a big party. And the next day, they woke up in the morning. They went into Dunkin' Donuts. Scrambled egg, please. No eggs. Chickens are on strike. Chickens are not producing. Why not? It's no taiva. There's no Yetzirah. No Yetzirah. No Yetzirah. The world, they came to realize they made a big mistake. The world will very surely come to be destroyed. The Yetzirah is a healthy thing. It's necessary for the world to exist. And in some degree, it's healthy for Avodah Zarah also. That's the lesson. Because if there was a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, then tzaddikim would channel that Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah towards Hashem. So the Ruchniest would be unbelievable. The degree of spirituality, that's why I'm Levim, Nechnam, it's all totally Zebezed. There's a lot of this, much discussion about this idea. So what did they do? They brought back the Yetzirah for Noshim, but Chazal Gemara says, only half. They made a pshara. We're going to bring it back. resurrection. We're going to be tchias ha-meisim, but not like it was before. Because it was like before, the world could not only half. So how? What do you mean only half? What does it mean? So someone wanted to suggest to me, there's a big machlokes, you know, comes to matzah, it comes to the shiur of the kizaisim. There is an opinion, not everyone agrees with this idea, that the eggs today are half the size. So some want to connect this, that it's half the size, with the fact that the Yetzer, our desire for Noshim, Bisman Hazeh, is only half of what it used to be before the time of Chazal Mavatel. And that's why it manifested itself in the physical world. But there are a lot of posts can totally throw out this idea out. They totally disagree with this idea that it's half the size. But where Chazal do make the following, what does it mean only half? Go out into the street today, it's pretty serious. Doesn't seem like it can get much worse. So what they say is, there's no taiva, what they mean, mechazal meant by half, there's no yetzar for relatives. And we see today, no one is not a normal person. Okay, there is incest. Okay, I'm not telling you there's nothing as incest in the world, but ruba de ruba, a normal, healthy person, normal, the majority of the world doesn't suffer from a taiva for their mother, for a sister, for a child. All of these ancestral relationships, a normal person doesn't have these problems. What is that? Before the Chazal, Mavat, the Yetzer Hara, it was a big problem. It was a big problem. That's what Chazal say. It was a big problem because the Yetzer Hara, that was what at least they achieved. How does all this work in the physical world? I have no idea. But Chazal connect this into this pasuk here. Emar la chokhma achosiat. Just like it's a simple matter to even the unlearned person that the Torah does not allow one to marry his sister, and it's such a halacha that it's so ingrained, and the person doesn't even have a desire for a relative like a sister, and a moda here also means a relative, a close relative, like a mother or a daughter or any one of a person's and people in the immediate family. So too, you should know every single matter of halach with the same degree of clarity. When it comes to the difficult sugyas of tsaras and negoyim, oyalais and negoyim and kalim and the most difficult mesachtas, all the difficult sugyas of Bava Basra and all the difficult sugyas, you should. What? Yevamis. Yevamis is not so hard. What is it all worked up about? The only hard daf in Yevamis is daf Beis and daf Yud. Besides those two, you're not dealing with more than one case a day. You have one case, so the scenario, it's not the end of the world, Yevamis. But a person, what?
Why is Rus called a Moda or Boaz? That closely related?
No, it's not. It says Naomi says Naomi was a moda.
They were close relationship. Moda means
no. Leisha. It says related. He was the goyel. He was the closest relative. He was the closest relative to Eli Melch. He had the obligation to the geula. No, he's not the closest. He was the second. Plony Almoni was the second closest.
The same relationship.
There was a relationship. So Nechnami Rus was a geiris, but it means no. Yeah,
the same thing. Science now. They had studies, they said they put people in the same room, they watched the attraction between male and female in the room, and they put a lot of brothers and sisters
really?
Who didn't know they were.
Who didn't know,
sisters.
Really?
And it was, or, you know, parents, children, they, you know, people that they know had no idea that they were related. And there was simply no attraction whatsoever.
Really?
They were speculating that there was a pheromone that was emitting from the body, a chemical maybe that puts off.
Wow.
They just, they wouldn't.
Fascinating.
There was no attraction.
Fascinating.
And they're not sure exactly what it is, but it was 100%.
Fascinating. Fascinating study. Okay, so this is an idea of moda. So a person, that's what Chazal Darshan, moda, the same way, emor la chochma achosiat. We have Rashi the Mitzudas. Rashi the Mitzudas just says, you know them inside out, because they're your sister, they're your relative. Rashi says you have dealings with them. Who do you have dealings with? When you need to borrow $10, who's going to lend you $10? Not a stranger. Your brother, your sister, that's the one that you have dealings with. Chazal? No, just like you know you're not allowed to marry them. You know that halach in the Torah. So too, you should know every halach in the Torah with the same degree of clarity. I'll read the Gemara. This is the Gemara in
Kiddushin. Kiddushin. Dover acha. Lalamcha. Shayudivrei Torah michudodim bificha. Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Shem yishal lcha adam dover. Al tigamgeim. Don't stutter. Don't mumble. V'samelo. El emelo miyod. Answering right away. Shenemar emor lachach machosiat. Shateibaki. The way it's interpreted here in the Gemara, shateibaki. You should be baki in Torah. Kishem sha'ata yodea. Sha'choscha asur lach. Just like you know, you know that halacha, you should know every single halacha. And then it goes back and it quotes the pasuk before, "Kashrei malatz besecha, kashrei maluch libecha, shei diragum devetar kol kach hachetucha la'avina midloy dibur." Another example, the previous pasuk is you should be able to move your fingers. Your Torah should be on your fingers, meaning that you can motion with your fingers. You should understand it below dibur. Ali de remizas yod ve'etzvach. That's another idea. Okay, but this is interesting. I told this a few times that years ago I went to a rabbinic training course where there were two rabbis teaching how to deal with answer halakha questions, and they each gave a session. The first rabbi's session was if a balabas asked the rabbi a question, you must answer it on the spot. And if you don't know the answer, so he told us, it's shocking. Guess. That's what he said. Just guess and say, take a gut feeling what the answer is. This is a real Haredi rabbi. Just take a gut. What do you feel the answer is? Just answer the question. Answer the question and tell the answer. And then go home. Go home and look it up. And if you made a mistake, you call up and say, you don't say you made a mistake. I just want to clarify. But when I told you this, it's an absurd. And he told us, why? I said, because if you don't, he told us from his experience, this is a very experienced, well rabbi, if you don't give them an answer on the spot, they'll never come back and ask you another question. And you don't want that. It's kedai just to guess and clarify later on. Wow. Because you have to have engaged balabatim in desiring to the answers to the questions. And then there was a break, and they served dinner. They served a break, and the rabbi number one went away, and then we had session part two. We had a new rabbi. It was gewaldig. I don't think they do it so well anymore today. Another rabbi, same topic. How do you deal with halacha, all different halacha issues? And he said, unbelievable, never ever answer, even if you know the answer, like something simple. Never, because you can never trust yourself in learning. You have to go and look it up and see it inside and give it over with clarity. And it's amazing how it just goes to show that it's part of the rabbinic training. What works for one rabbi and one community does not work for another rabbi and a different community. You gotta know who you're talking to. You gotta know your community. You gotta know who you are. Everyone is different. Such an extreme difference itself was very, very enlightening. Okay, before we conclude, there's one other very important halacha. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows, but not everyone knows that this pasuk is also a source for the halacha that a person should make simanim for learning Torah. Right? We have the famous pasuk is. The pasuk is Sima Bifiyam. How does the pasuk begin? Sima Bifiyam. I forgot to begin. Yeah, what's the beginning of the pasuk? Lamantia Taras Hashem Bificha. Sima.
Toras Hashem Sima Bifiyam. Lamanti Aliyah Torah Zos Lefano Liyeh.
Wow. Wait, go to the beginning of the pasuk. How's the beginning of the pasuk go? Where it's a Sima Bifiyam. Lamantia. Okay, so the pasuk is Sima. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, take the Torah and put
it.
Lambda es b'nei Yisrael Sima b'fiyam. Put the Torah in their mouth. So what do Chazal say about this pasuk? Al tikri Sima. Don't only read it in the simple translation, the simple form of Sima, but read it as if there's a samach. And it says in the Torah Sima with a sin. A sin means to set, to put. Put the Torah in their mouth. Teach them. Don't altikri simu with a sin, ela with a samach, and change the vowels to read it si mo no. Now you're adding in a nun. There's a way to add in a nun. The nun is part of a grammatical play on the vowels. It's as if there's a nun. See, well, that's a real nun. Here it's sees ela si mo no. You add a nun in somehow through grammar, and it's a samach, which basically means I say simonim la Torah. Mnemonics.
The man, that's why you have at the end, every so often, the siman in the Gemara, every couple of lines in the Gemara, it tells you siman, and we, most of us, just glance over it. But there's a lot of depth, there's a lot of chokhma that goes into the siman that appear in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Chayinah Simam Simanim, that's Sachadash V'Achav, he said in the Haggadah. This is a centerpiece in the Haggadah, that's Sachadash V'Achav. And today there are people, some people are more, you know, some people's minds are more into these type of things. Simanim, they make Simanim, like matrix, these type of things, Simanim. And it comes from that pasuk of Sima B'Fim Al Tikri, Sima Ella Simana. However, not everyone knows that the Gemara in Ervin goes on. And the Gemara says, that's not the only Makar. Maybe the Gemara didn't like the extra Nun. And the changing of the sin with the Samach and inning in a Nun. There's a much better Makar for the Halacha. And that's the Pasuk right here that we've just quoted. Emor la Chochma Achosiyat. Chochma should be like a sister to you, a relative, something you're familiar with. Umoda la Bina Tikra. We translate the word Moda. We had a struggle. We had to go to Rus to find the word Moda means a relative. But the word Moda, according to the Gemara in Masechta means Modaim. Moda means a simen. It's a word that we're not really familiar with. Ella say Modaim la Torah. Modaim means to make it known. How do you make something known when you have mnemonics? The word modoim is a term the Gemara assumes to mean mnemonics. And that's how the Gemara knows this principle of to make simonim in the Torah, that sachadash v'chav and so on and so forth, from this very pasuk, don't translate the word modo relative, umodo labinot sikra, you shall call out to understanding with signs, with Modoim. I guess no, Chagim or Moadim. What, Moadim?
It's more like it's retention. Retention.
Retention techniques. That's what a simon is. It's a technique of a retention, a moda. That this is one interpretation. And then the Gemara goes off. The Gemara says, then the Gemara, once the Gemara talks about the word Moda, the Gemara has another interpretation of Modola Bina Sikra. It means set times to learn, Sidarim, a whole new interpretation. Like Chagim Umoadim. What does it mean, Moed? A set time, a time when you come together. Mod means a gathering, a vat, when you get together, but it's really used in the context of times of the year. Shalosh Panim Mashani, called Zechurcha, the three times of the year, those are the Moadim, the festivals. Festival has a connotation of a set time. A person shouldn't just learn haphazardly. A person has to have Siddurim. During these 3 hours, I'm unavailable. I'm unavailable. I am sitting in the Chavetz Chaim, would tell his wife. His wife would come to him and say to him, there's an emergency in the store, come to the store. So he told his wife, what would happen if I would have been dead? I would have been buried. Would you come to my kever and knock on the kever and say we have an emergency? You wouldn't do that. I'm now, these 3 hours of the day are sacred. I'm not available. It's as if I'm dead. These are my modoim, my set times. Emma, you have me. A person wants to achieve learning. Umoda, labina, sikra. These are modoim, set times for the study of Torah. In some place, they don't let you bring a cell phone. Some yeshivas, you know, they don't allow cell phones in the building. They don't allow not even on vibrate. Not because you hear. You're here in the yeshiva. You're here. What are you here for? You're here to learn, or are you here to answer your phone? If you have an emergency, then you can't make it. You're expecting an important call, so don't come. If you have to, want to be part of this environment where we're going to have modoim malabina, it has to be serious. It has to be a serious event. Obviously, that's not going to go off well in most. They have the same rule. It was a very. I heard on a tape. Someone mentioned this. This is very frightening. Someone went to had a meeting with Bush W, and they had the whole group, maybe from the OU, and someone was sitting there. Someone was sitting there in the Oval Office, and his cell phone rang. So the person he looked at the cell phone. He didn't in front of the President of the United States, right? He didn't answer it, but like he looked at the cell phone. So Bush W said to him, you should go out and take the phone call. Obviously, it's very important. That was a very, very powerful piece of Musa. Very powerful piece of Musa that, like, first of all, your cell phone shouldn't have been on altogether. Chutzpah, you're coming into the Oval Office. Number two, if you were nichshol, it went off. But you even look at it, you should just press the button to stop it from ringing, even to look who's calling in the Oval Office. It's a very, that's lefnei melech basav adam. Alachas kam v'kam when you come. But alachas kam v'kam lefnei melech malchi amlochim. It's true. I saw with my own eyes a person in the middle of Shmona Esrei. And I couldn't believe this. I thought everyone knows it, at least in the middle of Shmona Esrei. In the middle of Shmona Esrei, the cell phone rang and he answered, hello. He went, hello. He said hello. In the middle of the Amida. That blew my mind.
That's right.
It blew my mind.
I always say, obviously the person's prayers have been answered.
They'll tell me it's my wife, it's Pikuach Nefesh.
You know, I love cell phones.